my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then he goes on to explain how he's giving him a sign of this covenant, and the sign is circumcision. We're going to move on down to verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He's 99, don't forget. And said to himself, he fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. We'll finish there. The gist of what we've heard tonight is what we've heard before from God. God has said this all along to Abram. When he first called him, he said, you know, I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to give you a people. You're going to have descendants. He said that your descendants will be, you won't be able to count them. There'll be so many. So why, you ask, is this a story about forgiveness? Well, you really need to have been here last week, but I'm going to sum it up. Tally was speaking about Abram last week, and basically, between him and his wife, they made a right royal mess of things. They decided God needed a helping hand. This whole idea of having an inheritance, they reckoned, God wasn't going to be able to do it through them, and so Sarah gave Abram her maidservant, Hagar, said, you go in, you sleep with my maidservant, we'll have a child through her, and they had a child, Ishmael. But God said, no, that's not what I have planned. And really, and then there's a wee bit of, ends up they chuck Hagar and Ishmael out on the street and sort of mistreat her, and they make a complete mess of things. And you see, our default thought, and a wee bit like what the video was saying tonight, our default thought when you make a mess of a situation, when you make a mess of a relationship with somebody, you know, when somebody's trusting you and you completely blow the situation, well, you expect there to be a downgrade in your relationship. You expect all of a sudden whatever they were going to do for you to be severely downgraded because you haven't done for them what you said you were going to do. This is a sort of way relationships work, and we've been brought up with it from childhood. You know, do that or you get a clip round the back of the legs. It's always about, when you make a mess of things, there's consequences and the relationship's marred. And so Abraham, I would have expected from God, after having made such a mess of things, would have expected from God a severe downgrading of maybe this covenant that God was making with Abraham. The promises, maybe your descendants are not going to be so uncountable after all. Maybe that land is going to be split up and you're not really going to inherit the whole land that God had mentioned beforehand. Because you've made a right royal mess of things. Abraham and Sarah certainly have. But what we read, or what we have just read, I would argue, if anything, God is upgrading the covenant that he has made with Abraham. He's not only giving them what they deserve, which is, well, they really deserve to be cut off from covenant, but what you would expect, which is a downgrade. If anything, what God is doing is he's upping the ante. He's upgrading the blessing that he's given to Abraham. He does it in a few different ways. Well, one is he's being very specific now about these, about his descendants. He says, I am going to give you a son. And it's with Sarah, because Sarah is going to be the mother of this son. And you, through that son, your descendants are going to be innumerable. In fact, there's going to be kings come down through your line. God is more specific about this. Then he comes to Abraham and gives him a new name. And the name Abraham means the father of many. Gives him a new name. And then Abraham says, oh, well, surely can we not just do all this descendants business through Ishmael? God says, no. But since you want to bless Ishmael, I'll bless him too. There's no end to the amount of grace and mercy that God has. He just wants an excuse to pour it out. And so he pours out grace and mercy on Ishmael as well and says he will be raised up. And then God gives them a sign of their covenant, and the sign is circumcision. And that's why Jews have always been circumcised. It goes right back to this covenant that God made with Abraham, the father of many nations, the father of so many people that it would be uncountable. This sort of forgiveness from God, this is God's sort of forgiveness. It doesn't come, it's just unbelievable. You know, usually it's okay if you've got friends and mates, you can have a bit of crack, you can come to them and there can be a wee bit of give and take. It always has to be give and take in a relationship. But the sort of more important that relationship becomes, the more important the consequences usually become when you make a mess of things. This sort of forgiveness is unbelievable. This is God's sort of forgiveness. Tell you what, I've only a short glimpse of this story, but I see a reason why everybody here should be filled with hope because of this short story. Because of what we're reading about how God treated Abraham. The fact that Abraham had made a mess of things. This goes back to what we were saying in the video. Our default setting thinks that God is disappointed with us, frustrated with us, that he's disgusted with us, that he regrets saving us, that he doesn't really, that he just about tolerates us. We very often think that that is God's view of us, and that as we go on, if we are Christians, as we go on in the Christian life, he slowly but surely keeps downgrading our quality of Christian life and our position in the kingdom of God. And the more we mess up, the further on down the slope we go. This is not the God of the Bible. God of Abraham is the God who restores, the God who forgives completely. I said for all of us, this gives us hope, because at some point in all our lives, we were all unbelievers. We didn't believe any of this malarkey. And the thing is that God wanted to provide his forgiveness for us. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that we could be forgiven. Without that blood being shed, we couldn't be forgiven. God just wanted so much to forgive us our sins that he sent his son to die for us. There's hope for every unbeliever, because it's like God blessing Ishmael. God has a supply of grace and mercy that knows no limit. If you will only come to him. We were all in that same boat, and there's not, if you listen to some of the testimonies that have been shared from this pulpit, people have done some pretty grim things. People have been through some pretty grim circumstances. I think collectively we would have blown every sort of relationship with God had God not been a God of grace and mercy. There's nothing too bad There's nothing that you've done too many times. But God will not stretch out his hand in forgiveness. And he'll not just give you a wee second-rate Christian life. He'll not give you just, the lowest place in the kingdom of God. He will raise you up to be a great pillar in the temple of God. God forgives. And you see, as Christians here, you know, we're not exempt from this feeling of becoming second-class Christians. Time and again, we let God down. Time and again, and it doesn't sort of, we have a whole big scale of all the different ways we let. Sometimes it's just a minor letdown, sometimes it's a great big major letdown. But day in, day out, we fall short of God's standard, and we let God down. And our default setting tells us all those things that we heard about tonight in the video. Our default setting, because when we let anyone else down, they are going to be frustrated with us. They're going to be annoyed with us. They're going to be peeved with us. They're going to not speak to us. They're going to do all these things to make us suffer. God is not like that. And it takes us so much to get that into our thick skulls. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of mercy and of grace and of a love that we know nothing about. And there's no second class, third class, fourth class Christians in the kingdom of God. Your inheritance, he's not downgrading. If anything, God is upgrading. He lavishes us with his grace. None of this is deserved. None of this is because, oh, Shiloh's my favourite wee church. Oh, look at them, bless them. No, this is what God is like. This is who he is. And he lavishes his grace. When I think of lavishing, I always think in terms of food. In terms of, you know, when you lavish butter onto your toast, and that isn't just putting a wee skimpy bit of flora, that is smothering it in butter. You know when we were having sausages though, and I was lavishing them in barbecue sauce. Like that's when there isn't, when you don't hold back, when you put more than is necessary, more than is even polite. It's going overboard, and that is what God's grace is like. That's what his mercy is like. That's what his love and his forgiveness is like. It gives every single one of us hope. And great comfort. There is a requirement upon us, of course, and there is a requirement upon Abraham as well, and that is for us to believe. Abraham fulfilled that requirement. He believed. Now, he didn't always believe always wholeheartedly. You see him here falling down on his knees, laughing, saying to himself, "What? I'm going to have 100. No way I'm going to have kids at 100. My wife's 90. Like, even from a practically physical point of view, you know, it's stretching it a bit. He doesn't always believe straight up. But time and time again, he perseveres in his faith. God keeps giving him a nudge and giving him a poke. And he keeps stepping out in faith. The requirement is for us to believe, and it is bonkers. I keep coming back to that word, bonkers. But you see, that sort of forgiveness that God gives is crazy. There's nowhere in this world that we go to that we find this sort of forgiveness, this sort of grace and mercy. And for us to believe it, which is the theme of our series at the moment, we would be mad to believe in this sort of grace. See, I think people take the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness and love of God almost a wee bit too for granted. And that it's, which completely contradicts the whole definition of it, but I'm actually not too bad a person. And in some way, I don't blame God for loving me. And we can almost adopt that sort of pious attitude. There's nothing could be further from the truth. It contradicts the whole definition of what God's grace is. God's grace is completely undeserving. We deserve the opposite of God's grace. We deserve him with his big giant thumb simply to squish us like we would squish a wee tiny spider. That's what we deserve. But that is not who God is. God isn't just a bigger version of one of us. God is completely different. And he has a completely different form of love. He's a completely different form of forgiveness. We would be mad to believe in this sort of forgiveness. Because, after all, this is the 5,483rd time I've asked for this sort of forgiveness. But God has more mercy still. He has more grace still. It's up to me to believe in that grace. You see, I could believe I'm a second-class citizen and all of a sudden step back from the Christian life and sort of become more of a Christian recluse and get about more worldly things again. I could accept that. But that's believing a lie. That's not believing God. God wants us, instead of taking a step back from faith, from having faith, he wants us to take a step forward in faith and saying, yes, I know all my friends say, how could he be a Christian? Look at him. How dare he call himself a Christian? He's done this, that, and the other. That's right. But I'm stepping forward in faith saying, this is what God says. God says, I am forgiven. God says the blood that forgave me is more powerful, is more bountiful, is more gracious, is more loving than the sin that plagues me. I step forward in the faith that is in what God says and the covenant that he has made with me. Not the same covenant that he made with Abraham, but the covenant that he makes with us. And says, I am choosing to believe this and ignore what everyone else says. And I encourage you to do the same tonight and listen to God and say, listen to him say that you are forgiven. Well, we're going to sing a few more songs, and it gives us, the songs will be about forgiveness, and so it'll give us a time to mull over the whole thought of forgiveness. And there will be an opportunity, Steph, we're having a song that we're not singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a song that we're not singing, and two of them, and that'll be a chance we can take a seat. And certainly if during that time you want prayer, just put your hand up or something, or something like that. Make yourself known, and a couple of people will come and will pray for you. So there we go. Let's stand to sing.